always have to move the mic down. First step. I'm Srija Swarnavasan, and I feel very privileged to be here speaking with you as colleagues about just one example of organizational change from the organization I represent, the San Mateo County Health Department. We already have a slide up, so we're making progress. These are the little things. And the lavender sheet, just as a first-time presenter, is a little bit of context of the health department I'm a part of. Knowing how heterogeneous we are as public health staff, as public health managers, to give you just a little picture of what we look like as an organization and the boxes, how similar or different they might be from your own. Is this what I do? Oh, you? Okay, cool. So the quick thumbnail, and I just knowing the wisdom that's on this panel, I'm going to give you a little background and context about our organization and some of the organizational milestones we've achieved as through what I would describe as a change strategy of creating a unit, a policy and planning unit within a local health department, what we've learned from that strategy, and what we see as challenges and gratuitous advice to offer, things I wish I would have known or things we wish we would have known. So I'll start with the background, thanks. And then we hold our breath. But you know, as everyone in this room knows, when the IOM released its 2002 report on unequal treatment, it was a clarion call to a lot of us in the public health community. I actually didn't work for a local health department at the time, but in the community I work in, it was also a real call to action for the health department to say, what are we doing about health disparities as a community in San Mateo County, California, which is a very diverse community, a very wealthy community, but a very diverse community, and what does health disparities mean to us? And I'm not going to belabor this because we're talking about organizational management. We need to focus on the management stuff, but for us particularly, we had a local Board of Supervisors member who took a lot of leadership in convening a summit. Almost 1,000 participants came together to talk about what do we as a community, what are we willing to commit to eliminate disparities within the 725,000 people in our community, and what indications do we have as to where we're starting from on that trajectory. And really, even as a very wealthy community that plays and race and resources matter. From all external points of view, we are a 725,000 person county. For those of you who have no idea what the Bay Area looks like, we're about as big as the state of Vermont as a county, but we sit within California, which would be a very large nation in the world economy, 36 million people. And this map is just two of the cities within our county. The upper one is Hillsboro, California. I believe it's in the top five wealthiest cities in the nation. The average household income is around $200,000. That compares to a national average of under $50,000, a California average of around $56,000. And you can see, we're trying to figure out as a staff who are these 2% who are under poverty, because we don't know any of these people. In contrast, a neighboring community, you know, literally 14 miles, the household income is below both the national and state averages. We, in our community, the self-sufficiency standard is about $80,000 for a family of four to be able to be self-sufficient without government assistance. The average renter spends $1,400 a month on rent. 73% people of color, 16% poverty rate, and that's poverty at the federal poverty level, not our adjusted poverty level. So that's the context for our community. Tremendous opportunity. We are right in situated near Silicon Valley, where a lot of the wealth creation of the last decade has occurred, but clearly the haves and the have-nots, the gap between the haves and have-nots has increased. And the issue of health disparities brought some of these distinctions and divide to a fore as to what is our responsibility as a health department. What are we doing about some of these issues? Okay, thank you. So organizationally, too, there are some specific factors unique to us. Our county government is a relatively big fish, if I go with the analogy of the title, The Turning Ships, Shaping Culture, in a calm ocean. Probably many people who've never been there have never heard of San Mateo County, California. We haven't had a public health crisis in recent memory. I mean, you know, we had a shortage of flu vaccine, but these aren't the things that, you know, get on the New York Times or anything like that. And because we do have resources and we have a very progressive board of supervisors, we have had tools at our disposal to address many of the health challenges that have come our way. Are we anywhere close to perfect? No, not at all. But county government has been able to step up to the plate on a lot of issues and serve as a lead or serve as a doing entity on a lot of issues. Within our organization, within the health department, we'd had a specific change that separated our public hospital from our health department. And that really gave the health department an opportunity to return to kind of core public health, the 10 essential functions. What is public health? What does it mean to be responsible for all 725,000 people, not just the people who come through our doors into a clinic or into a waiting room, those kinds of things. As I mentioned, we did have a very engaged Board of Supervisors member, especially the statistic I showed you about East Palo Alto. She happened to be a leader of color who represented that community, so really felt empowered and responsible for addressing the issue of health disparities and what it meant for the community she represented. And as others on the panel have said, really any organizational change, I think, takes a tremendous amount of vision and leadership from organizational leaders, and we certainly had that, and I feel fortunate that we had that. So quick milestones of our organization, just to tell you, we're getting so much better at this. Ken's like, where were you people when I was speaking? The blue boxes are what was going on in our community. The yellow boxes are what was going on within our organization. So not to go into great details, but on the blue you see between 2004 and 2007, we had this summit. Several hundred people came together. Our approach to the health disparities issue as a health department was around community planning. How can we work differently? Not start a county program, not just declare something. And it was a participatory community planning process to say, all right, what do we as a community want to do about this issue? How do we want to prioritize our resources? And we ended up with three issues of priority to us: prevention of childhood obesity with a health disparities lens, substance abuse prevention with a health disparities lens, and linguistic access to health care. I should have mentioned that our community has 30 primary languages, 52% non-white, so some statistics on the diversity quotient. And in doing this work, we actually earned the ability to take on a couple different issues. That's what kind of externally people maybe know about. Well, actually not really people. Some people know about within our community. Internally, we had a new health director, very systems person, who'd actually come out of retirement to lead our organization in 2004 prior to the creation of our unit. We had a changed role for our health officer that took his attention away from direct supervision of physicians and more to guiding or sort of advisor at large on population health issues. We formed our unit, which I'm going to talk about. We did an internal strategic planning process as a team. We have one more than the optimal. We have 13 people in our team, so I screwed up on that one. But and it's only now, 2.5 years later, that I think we feel better positioned to actually influence the things that we're taking on internally, not only have trust within our county, but also trust internally within our county organization. So the decisions we made, thank you. We created this separate policy and planning unit that's a centralized resource. It's about 13 staff. The concentration has to do with what used to be health educators, MPH-trained staff, who are now working in a community health planning role, and policy analyst types. In general, these 13 staff are younger than the department as a whole, less county tenure than the department as a whole. Now I'm understanding why after hearing Professor Kurtz. More diverse than our county staff as a whole and more educated than our county staff as a whole. Those are some key dimensions of the staff that we have. Our reporting structure, myself as the director of the unit, I report direct line to the health director and dotted line to the health officer. And I think this is really important in that my job is supposed to be always accountable to the health director, the senior leader, the CEO of our organization, and in tune with what the operational responsibilities are of our department as a whole, but trying to keep incrementally addressing the generational view of the health officer. He has the 25-year view. He's the one that's guiding and looking at the data and helping us understand where we should be going. And it's a ship turning for sure, but that I'm responsible and we as a unit are responsible for keeping that balance in mind in what we choose to do, what we are assigned to do, et cetera. Our funding for our unit is a collective investment of the department. So those boxes that you see on the purple chart, basically we took some vacant positions, made classification changes from my boss, the organizational guru, of like, okay, this social worker we can turn into this, you know, for those 13 staff, and we are charged out to our colleague department, sort of like a centralized administrative function you might have it for accounting or those kinds of things. And our charter, before this planning started out, was somewhat open-ended, but not completely open-ended in that it very much was supposed to be in concert with the Board of Supervisors policy windows. We were not a think tank empowered to research and just come up with whatever we wanted. It really was in concert with our Board of Supervisors context. Okay, so what have we learned? My boss is, we skipped one, but it's okay, we'll find it. Mantra is, we're charting a marathon, not a sprint. You know, and every couple weeks when she and I have our one-on-ones, that's something she has to remind me of, because the disparities are immense, the challenges are huge, the work is unending, and you know, every day there's something like, I can't believe this, or we can't believe this. But it really is, how do we turn that big mantra into incremental steps over the course of a marathon? And in general, we've had more victories or things that we could point to from an external standpoint. We have 3 consensus documents that our board approved that are catalyzing action at the community level. But when we look at, so we're 13 staff, our department is 1,200. The average health department staff person's knowledge of what we do, very minimal. The number of times that I'm introducing myself to a colleague in my own department and explaining what we as a unit do now that we're 2.5 years old, every day, introductions, every day, communication about what it is that we do, and harder to quantify what's the impact we're having internally. A second is that it's been a balance of what we do versus what we catalyze. In the beginning, kind of the sell to our senior management group and creating us as a unit was, centralizing these functions is going to help us all. You know, A, we need to have a better face with our community partners. We need to have a place for them to come. They don't think of us as this program or that program. They think of us as the county health department. How can we help the community? So this is going to make it easier for all of us. And, you know, from a very operational time is scarce standpoint, when the board aide calls and says, hey, what can you guys do about X? Srija is going to take it and figure out what it is we all need to do about it. And in building trust, both with community partners and with internal partners, our tendency has been to do it, to just take care of it, to figure it out. You know, call in favors here and there, but not so much, okay, here's this, and then I'm going to pass this on to my colleague in public health or my colleague in our aging and adult services division. It's been more to do than to catalyze, and we're learning how to do the latter. It's been very instructive to learn about the tipping points that we think we need to influence. At the beginning, when it was much more about the community, I mean, it's always about the community. Our mission is to work with in collaboration with the community. But we've had to figure out what are the tipping points internally that we can draw on. The budget process, you know, and what positions and how we help other divisions ask for positions or resources that are going to be in concert with what we as a department want to do in a very, not us, but collective way. New opportunities. California had something called the Mental Health Services Act, which was a tax on millionaires to strengthen our public mental health system. It's the biggest public policy and public resource infusion into a public health system in California. That's a real tipping point. That's an opportunity that there are new resources coming into a public system. How can we all benefit from that? How can our community benefit from that maximally? And then the fourth one, which I think was maybe the biggest surprise to me, is how challenging and complicated it is to sustain the staff that we have in doing this work. as I told you, those dimensions, generally younger, generally more educated, generally more diverse, they don't see a lot of people like themselves or with jobs like theirs at other places in their health department when they go to a meeting, when they're explaining what they do. And sort of the, why are we doing this again? Why aren't they doing this way? And feeling the excitement and the responsibility of change and making change and feeling empowered to make change while still feeling somewhat stymied or challenged or constrained, and how that's obvious, or why doesn't everyone see this injustice in the way I do type of way. So next slide, please. We're trying. Okay. For us, the challenges, there are only four. Building things, measuring things, people, and structures. Really simple, right? On the when to build and when and how to influence, this leadership dimension, I think, is something we're continually learning about. What does it mean to lead? What does it mean to have the complete buy-off of senior leadership but still feel like that's just necessary but not sufficient? And what does it mean for our entire staff and our entire department feel like leaders within the community and doing public health work? And I feel really fortunate that a really close link to my boss, the health director, has helped to facilitate a lot of relationships, has helped to facilitate a lot of, Charlene said we could get this done kind of thing. But it's also been incumbent upon us as a staff to cultivate that same type of relationship with every person we meet, whether that's a community partner or a colleague within our health department. And communication is a really important part of that leadership dimension. I don't even know how I could have 4,000 sent mail messages in a week, you know? And also picking up the phone, walking down the halls, going to other places, not only in the community but within our health department, to just build relationships and remind ourselves of the opportunities that we have on this work together. A lot of our job as a staff, as a policy and planning staff, has actually been more around communication, re-explaining the way that we might look at our work, re-explaining the way that we might look at a challenge before us. And the patience factor is something, as I alluded to earlier, we're learning. So we're 13 people out of 1,300, and we're trying to make inroads on issues that have been generations in the making. What could we potentially, how do we kind of dose ourselves in terms of what realistic expectations are while still pushing and, you know, setting the bar really high? We've had challenges on the measurement end. It's been easier to look at those population-based measures of where we want to go as external guideposts, but internally, how do we measure whether things are making a difference, whether we have increased folks' confidence in us, whether we've increased our response time, and we've thinking about it more in terms of responsiveness as an ingredient to building trust, and how we might measure responsiveness, whether it's confidence in us, things like that. And the last dimension, people and structures, which will also be my closing slide, who leads and who's hired have been really important. You know, we don't get to make new hiring decisions very often, usually in at least the public health field. So when every vacancy is an opportunity, every decision reflects something about what it is we're looking for in our workforce, in our leadership core, in what we say represents what we want to put forward. And we have a really visible unit, so those decisions have been really important, and then our involvement in other hiring decisions has been really important. It's actually been a priority among our staff to sit on hiring committees for other parts of the health department to try to think about some of the departmental or community-wide challenges that we have before us. So just in respect of time, I'm going to do my last slide. Do I have time for that one? If we can make it happen. Okay, so I divided it into some, we're always sort of debating, so which part of it's people and which part of it's structure? And basically it's both, I think. So the structural considerations I feel like we've learned are that the insulation we've had as a small unit, separate from other things, not having the fundraising pressure or the categorical funding pressure, has really freed us up. We've had the gift of time to say, okay, how would we plan for this? How would we think about it? How would a community member think about these things? Has been a real gift. Within that, what we're learning is how do we identify some concrete actions on the way to long-term change, and that's something we're still grappling with. on the HR end, it is, we're only as good as our staff on a lot of different fronts. The phone call that we would get, whether it's the board aide or the community member or whoever, has really forced us to prioritize the nurturing and the team building and the visioning within our staff as a first step, and building allies with other staff across our department. There are change agents across our department. There are visionaries across our departments. There are experts across our department, but it's finding those people as allies, and then what do we need to nurture each other as cohort groups, new cross-departmental structures, new communication structures. Making friends across the department has been really important to us. And on the leadership end, what I guess I would caution is we are still finding, or we're still 2.5 years in, the balance between the policy and planning and then the implementing is really daunting. And it's easier, has been easier for us to start things than to stop things. And the next round of actual change is about, so if we're really about freeing up time, which is what we've had the gift of, how do we free up time across our organization and stop doing some things so we can do some other things? I do want to say the last bullet, or the third bullet point, which I have to remind myself, is that this communication and relationship building generally trumps the research, it generally trumps the rationality in terms of building the ingredients to do the stuff that we all want to do, the books that we've been recommended and all of that stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And you've heard some varied and interesting talks that I'm sure you have a few questions and comments. We have roughly 7 minutes left. So questions. Go ahead.
Down somewhere.
In the back?
Question on the mentoring. for training, and we include supervisors in that training as well, so they see what training that the mentors are going through. Yep.
I noticed that you also did evaluations, so if people don't shape up, are they just sort of passed over on the next application?
They are indeed, yes. Yep.
In the front right here?
Yep. Who have not applied in the
I'd like to, people are leaving, I want to thank you on behalf of the Health Administration section. I greatly appreciate your having attended.